I wonder sometimes how I ever got by. Running wild, driving you crazy, and telling you lies. You turned to Jesus when my ways were too much to bear. And Mama, he must have been listening to all of your prayers. Mama, I hope you're still praying for me every night. I'm always trying to do what you taught me was right. Sometimes it's hard to stay on the road straight and true. Mama, I wouldn't know which way to turn without you. Still don't understand how you could do all that you did with just two loving hands. And when they were through with their work at the end of the day, those hands held the Bible you read me to show me the way. Mama, I hope you're still praying for me every night. I'm always trying to do what you taught me was right. Sometimes it's hard to stay on the road straight and true. Mama, I wouldn't know which way to turn without you.
They can make you, or they can break you. They can put scars on your soul or stars in your heart. A bad one can, well, it can ruin your life forever. A good one can redeem a life forever. You will probably, and frequently, I might add, rejoice over the good ones. And you will forever regret all of the bad ones. What am I talking about? Decisions. They can make you bad, glad, or sad. I read about a man who had placed some flowers on the grave of his dearly departed mother. He started back toward his car when he saw another man kneeling at a grave nearby. The man seemed to be praying with profound intensity. And he kept saying things like, "Why did you have to die? Why couldn't you have lived? How could you have left me in such a predicament? Oh, I'd give anything if I could bring you back. Well, the first man walked over to him with sympathy. He didn't want to intrude, but he said, "Sir, I don't want to interfere with your grief, and I know it's private, but this demonstration of pain is more than I've ever seen before from anyone visiting the cemetery. Who are you mourning for so deeply? Is it your child?" The man said, "Oh, no. No, not my child." He said, "Well, is it a parent?" He said, "No, not a parent." The man said, "Well, who is it? Please forgive me. I need to know. I've never seen such an outpouring of grief. Who is it that you're grieving for?" The man said, "My wife's first husband." Now, it wasn't that the death of the first husband that caused this man his problem. It was the decision to become the second husband that had nailed him to the wall. I know that was bad. Kind of reminds me of the fellow in church one time. He was asked by the whole congregation, was asked by the preacher, "Is there any perfect man here? If you're perfect, stand up." And there was a fellow in the back stood up. This is an old preacher joke. You preachers have heard this and used this before. And the preacher was shocked when he saw the man standing, and he said, "Sir, are you telling us you're perfect?" He said, "No, I'm standing on behalf of my wife's first husband." Well, folks, listen, we all face decisions in life, do we not? You're listening today because you made a decision to listen. Really, life is just one decision after the other, isn't it? In our verse today, which we'll share in just a moment, King David shares two wonderful truths with us. He shares with us that God will love us enough to correct us when we make the wrong decisions. That's the first thing. And then he will lead us to make the right decisions. You see, you never have to worry about going his way because his way is the right way. And that's what we're talking about in this series. We're talking about following his way. We're taking our text from Psalm 23. We're looking at the 23rd Psalm. This is the third message in the series. And today, I want to talk to you about Psalm 23, verse 3. His way is the right way. Psalm 23, beginning verse 1. Let's go back and just review a little. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing." We talked the first week about the fact that God will supply every need, everything you need. He wants to be your shepherd. He makes me lie down, verse 2 says, in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He'll lead you over the bridge. He's the bridge over troubled waters, we said last week. And then today, Psalm 23:3, "He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Now, there's some listening today who have gotten off the right road onto the wrong road. My friend, I'm happy to tell you today there's hope for you. There's some of you at a crossroad. You don't know which road you're going to take. You're facing something right now. You've come to a point in your life where there's a crossroad, and you've got a choice to make. You've got a decision to make. My friend, I'm happy to tell you there's help for you. I want you to listen to me today, and if I can convey this truth in the way I want to, in the way God, I pray, will help me to do so, and you can learn two tremendous truths that will take care of both your past and your future. Here's the first thing I want you to see today. When we fall, when you fall, when I fall, when we all have those moments when we fall because of choices we've made, decisions in life, when we fall, God lifts us to a place of restoration. Psalm 23:3 from the New King James Version says, "He restores my soul." Literally, the verse says, "He brings me back." Now, what does that mean, "He brings me back"? "He restores my soul." Remember what we're talking about in this psalm. We're talking about the relationship of sheep to a shepherd. the psalm begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." And we're looking at how a shepherd deals with sheep, a real shepherd and real sheep in the material world, the physical world. There are two dangers that sheep face, and two dangers that only the shepherd can handle when it comes to sheep. One of the dangers is that the sheep will become a cast sheep. The psalmist cries out in Psalm 42, verse 11, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" Now, let me explain. A Palestinian, even today, would understand the analogy that's given in this verse. He's referring to a cast sheep, or a sheep that is cast down. This is an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that's turned over on its back and can't get up again by itself. One of the saddest sights you'll ever see is a cast sheep lying on its back. Years ago, I was talking about something similar to this, and someone later told me, "I heard the broadcast, and you're right, because I've raised sheep, and that's exactly what happens." Well, what happens? Well, it can't function, and it will die if it stays in that condition very long. It's the most depressing. It's the saddest thing you'll ever see, is a sheep lying on its back. You see, its feet stick straight up in the air, and it will struggle frantically to stand up, but it's hopeless. It cannot. You see, this is a position a sheep get themselves into, but they can't get themselves out of. Sheep are built in such a way that if they ever fall on their side and then over on their back with their legs sticking straight up in the air, they cannot get themselves aright. They cannot get themselves to a position to where they can stand on their feet. And here's what happens. Sometimes a particularly heavy or fat sheep will lie down in some little ditch, some little hollow, some little depression in the ground. It may roll over on its side. It begins to stretch out and relax. And suddenly, the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns on its back so far that the feet can no longer touch the ground. At this point, the sheep becomes very frightened. It begins to kick and to flail around. It bleats and it cries out. It's frightened. It's scared to death because it knows it's open to attack. Buzzards and vultures and dogs and coyotes and cougars all know that a cast sheep, one that's on its back with its feet stuck up in the air, is easy prey, just waiting to be killed. Now, as it lies there on its back, struggling, gases begin to collect in the stomach. Now, I may be telling you more than you ever wanted to know about sheep, but this is what happens. As those gases expand, it hardens the stomach. And that cuts off the air passage. Now, if it's hot, sheep can suffocate in a matter of hours. Beyond that, blood circulation to the legs is also cut off. Are you getting the picture? This guy's in bad shape, and the legs go numb. If the weather's cold or cloudy, a sheep can survive in that agonizing position. Well, some have survived for several days, struggling to get its breath. There's not one thing, hear me folks, there's not one thing they can do about their predicament. They need a shepherd who can restore their soul. Now, when a shepherd restores a cast down sheep, he doesn't do it immediately. There's an art to this. He takes time to restore that sheep. First, a shepherd will come to the sheep lying on its back with its legs sticking up in the air, and the first thing he will do is to begin to massage those legs to get circulation back in the legs. He'll then roll the sheep over on its side to relieve the pressure of the gases in the stomach. He begins to talk to the sheep in very reassuring tones to lower the fear factor. Then, very gently, he puts his hand under the sheep's belly and lifts it up, because you see, it can't stand on its own. because its feet are so wobbly. He'll hold that sheep until the blood begins to flow in the legs again. And it begins to get some stability, and finally the sheep is able to walk on its own and rejoin the fold. My, oh my, what a time sheep can get themselves into. What a shape. Now, folks, listen. This is a tremendous picture of what God is willing to do for all of us. Now, if you've ever had your soul cast down, if you've ever been knocked flat on your back spiritually, and you're struggling to get back up, God has promised He will come and restore your soul. He has promised to restore your confidence. He said that over and over and over in His Word. He'll restore your confidence, but not only that, He'll restore your peace. He'll restore your joy. He'll restore your joy, confidence, peace, strength, and joy. We all need that, do we not? In Psalm 51, David wrote about how his soul had been cast down by sin in his life. You might remember David's tryst with Bathsheba. That's what the world would call it. We know it to be sin. She was bathing one night on her roof, which Jewish women often did. It was supposed to be a place of safety and a place of modesty and a place of protection. But there was David up on his roof when he should have been out with his men fighting in the war. But David's hands were idle. David's mind was idle. And the Bible might not say this way, but it's nevertheless true. The idle mind or idle hands are the devil's workshop. And so David decided that he would have her, took her, had sex with her. Her husband was killed because of David's order. That's a brief history of that situation, but you Bible students know what I'm talking about. And David suffered for that fourfold. And one of the things David asked for in Psalm 51, verse 12, restore to me the joy of my salvation. I'm talking to somebody right now. It may not be the sin of adultery, it may not be the sin of murder, but somebody listening right now has committed a sin that has robbed them of their joy. They've quit the church, they've left the fold. They're out here flailing around on their back with their legs sticking straight up in the air. They can't get up, they can't move, they can't rejoice, they can't have confidence. They're miserable. You may be cast down today by guilt. If that's true of you, the Good Shepherd has a word for you. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants to forgive you. God wants you to know that you can be, in fact, forgiven of your guilt. The devil doesn't want you to know that because he wants to bring more guilt on your life. There's two kinds of guilt. There's a guilt from God and a guilt from the devil. The guilt from the devil is grief united in lifelong torment. He wants you to stay there, cast down like that sheep. But the guilt from God is God's unlimited intentional loving treatment, and He wants you to use that. He wants that guilt to help you repent and turn back to Him. And that's why John says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that twinge of guilt that you're feeling today over some sin that you've not repented of, repent of it today. And if it's forsaking the assembly, if it's being contentious with some brother or sister in the church or with your neighbor, make it right. Go to that person and ask them to forgive you. So it may be today that you're not dealing with guilt. Maybe today you're dealing with grief. Maybe you're cast down. Your soul is cast down by grief. If that's so, the Good Shepherd has a word for you. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You might remember Paul prayed 3 times that the Lord would take away his thorn in the flesh. The Lord said no. And then finally said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. And we never have a record of Paul ever asking the Lord to take it away again. God is able to raise your cast down soul, whether it's by guilt or by grief. Whether you're broken by guilt or burdened by grief, God will restore you. But there's another danger for a sheep, and that is the danger of becoming a lost sheep. You know, oftentimes sheep will begin to nibble on grain or grass, and they don't look up and watch where they're going. They just walk and eat, walk and eat. It doesn't take a lot of nibbles until a sheep will wander off into a field trying to satisfy his hunger. And they only have one thing on their mind at that time. That's the next blade of grass. Before you know it, well, you know, don't you? The sheep is lost. But what's even worse, he can't find his way back home. That's right. A sheep cannot find his way back home. Dogs, pigeons, horses, they all have a homing instinct. They can find their way home. A cow will come back to the barn. Did you know that? A horse will return to the stable. A dog will return to his house. But sheep can't even find their way back to the flock. You see, a sheep is not strong like a lion, nor is it swift like an antelope. It's not smart like a dog. The number one characteristic of a sheep is it is stupid. Once a sheep has gone astray, it cannot find its way back home. Boy, I tell you what, I could unpack that in a number of ways if we had time this morning. If you wandered away, the old song says, I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. Until you reach that point that you're coming home, you, my friend, are stupid. Foolish is another word for it. Proverbs 12:1, Proverbs 26:1. Talk about the foolish person, the stupid person. Now, it's become a matter of great urgency that the sheep be restored to the flock. Because first of all, sheep don't even have a keen sense of smell. Learning about sheep, have we not concluded that they really are stupid? They can't get back home. They just nibble on grass. They walk right off the edge of a cliff. They get on their back. They can't get up. They need a lot of help, folks. So do we. So do we. They don't have a good sense of smell. And if they're left to themselves to feed wherever they want to, they'll eat poisonous weeds. Or they'll drink polluted water. And folks, they'll die if they don't have a shepherd. Furthermore, sheep are defenseless. Tigers claw, bears crush, mules kick, snakes strike, but sheep are defenseless. So it becomes a matter of urgency for the shepherd to find the sheep. He's got to find it. The last thing a shepherd does before he goes to sleep at night is he counts the sheep. He calls them by name. And if one is missing, he'll secure the flock and then go and find the lost one, because it's the shepherd's job not only to restore cast sheep to their feet, but to restore lost sheep to the flock. Folks, when you're on your back spiritually, or when you wander away from the flock, if you belong to the shepherd will come for you, and he'll lift you to a place of restoration. We can restore antiques. We can restore clocks. We can restore cars. We can restore paintings. But only God can restore the soul. Man has discovered many remedies for sick bodies, but only God can restore a sick soul. There's only one remedy for guilt or for grief. That's the grace of the Good Shepherd. When we fail, God lifts us to a place of restoration. But there's a second thing you need to know. When we falter, God leads us to a path of righteousness. You know, the Good Shepherd not only feeds his flock and leads his flock, he not only provides for his flock, he guides his flock, he protects his flock, he directs his flock, and leads to the paths of righteousness. Now, literally, that really says the right path. Psalm 23:3, let's call it 3b, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Folks, sheep have extremely poor vision. Most sheep can only see about 10 yards away. That's why they tend to wander. You remember what the prophet Isaiah said about them? All we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah 53:6. When sheep don't follow the shepherd, they always get off on the wrong path. The Palestinian shepherd was a master at reading tracks. You know, in the Palestinian desert, there were many marks and paths that crisscrossed the land. Some were made by wild animals. Others were made by robbers lying in wait to attack. But to a sheep, every path looks the same. Sheep don't realize that this path could lead to a wild animal or that path could lead to a cliff. I'm reminded of what Solomon said in Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death. But the good shepherd always leads the sheep on a path to green grass and still waters. Again, the verse literally says, he leads us to the right paths. A shepherd never guides his sheep to destruction. He never guides them into polluted waters or poisonous grasses. He never guides them into fields where food and water are not available. He only guides them into places that are right for them. Now, the wonderful thing about the shepherd is this. He always bats 1,000. He never makes a bad decision. He never makes a mistake. He will always guide you into the paths that are right and the paths that are true. Proverbs 12:28 says, in the way of righteousness is life. It is a pathway there, and there is in that pathway no death. Even though sheep have poor eyesight, they don't really have to see as long as they're doing one thing, as long as they're following the shepherd. As long as sheep are following the shepherd, they're going to be fine. You know, in one sense, every one of us has bad eyesight, not in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. Because even with the best eyesight in the world, there's one thing you and I can't see. We can't see the future. So how can we face the unknown future? Corrie ten Boom made one of the greatest statements I've ever heard. She said, never be afraid to trust a future you don't know to a God you do know. I love that. Well, the occasion was a Christmas Eve address to the British Commonwealth delivered by King George VI. It was his closing address during those difficult days for Great Britain just as World War II had ended. As he spoke that night, the entire nation was unaware that King George VI was dying of cancer. These were the last words he said to his people. Quote, I said to the man at the gate of the year, get me a light that I may walk safely into the unknown. He said to me, go out into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God, and it shall be to you better than the light and safer than the known. Folks, please understand, get this truth in your heart. As long as the sheep can see the shepherd and stay close to the shepherd, they don't need to worry. They don't have to worry about the future. And they are completely safe. There's only one way we can do that, and that is to stay close to the shepherd. Right now, listening to me, there are those of you who need to get back. You need to get close so you can see the shepherd once again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He would want me to remind you of that today. Until next Lord's Day, remember, keep looking to Jesus.